This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. In today's world, many of us live separate from nature. Shoes and concrete mean little direct contact with dirt. If it rains or snows, we can go indoors. We can even control the temperature inside. In this way, our lives are certainly easier than our ancestors. But some people believe the separation from nature is detrimental, hurting both the planet and our spirits. This is not a new idea.
I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived.
In the mid-1800s, Henry David Thoreau took a radical step to live in the woods for a year. The trend continues today. For example, author, spiritual leader, and activist Star Hawk. On a ranch in Northern California, she is blending pagan spirituality with a back-to-the-earth environmental approach. KALW's Judy Silber has the story, which comes to us from the Spiritual Edge Project.
Three hours north of San Francisco, just east of the ocean, rise the steep green hills of Casadero. It's an idyllic setting, open space with farms, a variety of oak trees, and an abundance of grasses. A mixed flock of sheep and goats nibble on the plants in an almost biblical scene. My guide and owner of these animals is named Starhawk. She points above us, to the trunk of a dead tree.
The woodpeckers there, they're making holes in the tree, and you can see them flying in with little acorns in their beaks, and then they hide them in the tree and stash their acorns for the winter.
Starhawk is a keen observer of nature now, but she wasn't always so tuned in. Born Miriam Simos, she grew up in the San Fernando Valley, a suburban Jewish girl who longed for deeper connection with the natural world. Starhawk changed her name after dreaming of a hawk that transformed into a wise woman. This is an excerpt from her 1979 book, The Spiral Dance, that helped revitalize a pagan religious movement.
Witchcraft takes its teachings from nature and reads inspiration in the movements of the sun, moon, and stars.
At the time, she knew little about the nitty-gritty dynamics of nature. That came later, in the mid-1990s, when she took a permaculture workshop where she learned a holistic approach to farming. Now in her 60s, she devours magazines like Permaculture Design. The knowledge has shifted her approach to spirituality.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we think about spirituality or we think about meditation, we're thinking about some kind of practice where you turn your focus inward. You sit, you meditate, you watch your breath. But for me, it's really shifted where I understand spirituality as about actually opening up and listening to what's around us.
What do you think they're saying?
She's yelling as nervous about something. She's calling for something, but she doesn't actually have babies, so she's not calling for her babies. Maybe she thinks somebody's wandered way too far from the herd, or maybe she senses something in the landscape. Oh, there's the dogs over there. I think that's what's making her nervous.
Starhawk lives part-time on this 40-acre ranch, where spirituality is often subtle, intertwined with the everyday business of tending to the land.
Sometimes we just wake up, you go get the sheep, you know, you take them for a walk.
Jonathan First is a practicing Jew, yet he's drawn to this brand of spiritual agriculture.
The magic is infused in the land and putting your hands in the dirt, taking care of the sheep, collecting eggs, and interwoven into everything we do are small prayer moments. Then it's like one constant spiritual practice.
The criticism of some of those groups is that they're making it up. They're dilettantes.
Andrew Raymer is a professor in religious studies at the University of San Francisco.
Goddess from here, a goddess from there, a poem from this place, a song from that place, inventing it. And in some ways, that's a legitimate criticism. But in other ways, I think that when you have been cut off from your tradition, and by tradition, I mean when all of us human beings have cut ourselves off from our engagement and involvement in the planet and the cycles of the planet, we do the best we can to get back.
This getting back to the planet, for Starhawk and her land manager, Charles Williams, it's not only about connecting to the land. It's taking action to heal it. Remember the sheep? Charles, who does most of the shepherding, is quite deliberate about where he takes them.
I want to cross the creek, so if we can head that direction, it'd be great.
This approach has big benefits. The sheep trample down overgrown grasses, including invasive species. That becomes valuable compost. When Charles moves the sheep to another area, they also leave behind poop and altogether richer soil that encourages native seeds to sprout. These growing plants pull carbon dioxide from the air.
So they will put the carbon into their leaves. They'll put the carbon into their stems, into their seeds. They're going to put the carbon into their roots.
The ecology is shifted and is a step towards fighting climate change. To Starhawk, it's a perfect example of how science and spirituality can meet.
There's a lot of people now who are really trying to document what this kind of grazing can do and get the scientific data that can show, yes, this actually can work. You know, we know it works because we can see it, but then we'll have the numbers to prove it.
There's no creative permaculture solution to the drought that Casadero, like the rest of California, is facing. So this is where Starhawk pulls in other strains of her spiritual practice. When about 40 friends and neighbors gather for a spring party, Starhawk leads a ritual circle near a fire where meat from a whole sheep is roasting.
And just take a deep breath. Maybe close your eyes for a minute. Feel your feet on the ground. And imagine yourself like one of these plants or trees, taking root and feeling your roots push down through the rocks and the soil and down into this living earth.
The group walks a short ways to the water tanks. Some people tap them as they go around. Then they gather around a glistening tile mosaic, a new water altar.
We each had a chance to express something about what we cared about water.
Nourishment.
The concept of fluidity.
Something we are grateful for.
Making waves.
Fertility.
And apparently it worked.
That night, in my sleeping bag on the floor of a yurt, I wake in the middle of the night. Much to my surprise, it's raining. You may or may not believe that the ritual had anything to do with the rain. But participants did achieve a goal, remembering that we can't take nature for granted and that our connection to it matters. In Casadero, I'm Judy Silber for Cross Currents.